All right, this morning's reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. The book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. And Saul approved of their killing him. That day a severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And all of the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church by entering house after house, dragging off both men and women. He committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went from place to place, proclaiming the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds with one accord listened eagerly to what was said by Philip, hearing and seeing the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud shrieks, came out of many who were possessed, and many others who were paralyzed or lame were cured. So there was great joy in that city. Now, a certain man named Simon had previously practiced magic in that city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he was someone great. All of them, from the least to the greatest, listened to him eagerly, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they listened eagerly to him because for a long time he amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, who was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. After being baptized, he stayed constantly with Philip and was amazed when he saw the signs and great miracles that took place. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying of the apostles' hand, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. You have no power or share in this, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in a gall of bitterness and a chains of wickedness." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord, that nothing what you have said may happen to me." Now after Peter and John had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, proclaiming the good news to many villages of the Samaritans. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, as we are making our way through the book of Acts, you may recall last Sunday we did about 2.5 chapters here, or two and a little bit of chapters of Stephen, the first martyr. And I ended last week's sermon on the end of verse 3 there of chapter 8. Kind of ties Stephen up. And it talks about how in chapter 8 that the church that has experienced such a great reception all at once, public tide turned against it. And a great persecution happened at the church. And so the apostles remained in Jerusalem while the other believers were scattered and they went to Judea and Samaria. And you may recall I said they remind me of the old TV show Bonanza. Okay. They remember Bonanza when the show came on, you had that map of the Ponderosa and the flame was in the middle and the flame spread out. And that is a good analogy of what was happening with Christianity. The Holy Spirit came down to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And there in Jerusalem it's burning brightly. But now because of persecution, it was spreading out. And it spread out to Judea and Samaria. And I don't think that's an accident. Because you recall in the beginning of the book of Acts, when we were doing Ascension Sunday a few weeks ago, Jesus told his followers, "You will be my witnesses, beginning here in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world." In other words, it's like a three-stage plan. The gospel begins in Jerusalem, the capital. It will then spread out to Judea and Samaria. And then from there, it will spread out to all ends of the earth. And so, we have a guy named Philip. Now, I didn't mention him too much last week because last Sunday was a communion Sunday and we were short on time. But I talked about how Stephen was one of seven deacons. Well, another one of those deacons was our friend Philip. And so Philip, he goes down to the city of Samaria and he proclaims to the Samaritans that the Messiah has come, the name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was so great upon Philip, that he was able to do great signs and wonders. Verse 7 says, "For unclean spirits, crying with loud shrieks, came out of many who were possessed. And many others who were paralyzed or lame were cured. And so there was great joy in that city." The Holy Spirit was so powerful in Philip that he was casting out demons and healing folks, just like Jesus did. And the Samaritans knew in their hearts, this man is telling the truth, that the Messiah has come. Well, the problem is, though, Philip here has a little competition going on. See, before Philip showed up, we had this guy named Simon the Sorcerer. And he practiced magic. And people were amazed at his magic. Now, folks say, now, is this magic real or not? And there's two possibilities. One possibility is it was just all smoke and mirrors. You know, he just made it look like he was doing stuff. Another possibility that I would lean more to is that being a sorcerer, this character was playing around with witchcraft. You see, when it comes to the miraculous, there's two sources. When the supernatural power comes from above, we call that a miracle. When it comes from below, that's sorcery, black magic. And I suspect that Simon was using sorcery. And it says in verse 11, "And they listened eagerly to him because for a long time he amazed them with his magic." Now, it's sad, but we see that in our society today where folks will get their heads turned by the powers of darkness. Oh, did you see what he did? And you could commit a crime and be on the front page of the DPA. We need some competition. The competition came in verse 12. "But when they believed Philip, who was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Isn't it interesting how Simon the Sorcerer could never heal a person? And he sure didn't cast out any demons, because again, if he's a sorcerer, you wouldn't be casting out demons. That's where your power comes from. And all once, he noticed that folks are quit listening to him, and are now listening to this guy named Philip, who's proclaiming the Messiah, Jesus. And verse 13 says, "Even Simon himself believed." We've got to be careful about that. Book of James tells us that even the demons believe and tremble. You know, sometimes you can have that head knowledge about Jesus, but don't have that heart knowledge. And after being baptized, he said he constantly with Philip and was amazed when he saw the signs and great miracles that took place. So there's Simon the Sorcerer, and now instead of being on stage, he's sitting on the front row watching Philip, and he's like, "Man, how is he doing this?" You know, just he lays hands on folks and they can walk, or he casts out demons and they come out with shrieks. How is he doing this? You know, and he is just amazed by this.
Well, meanwhile, back in Jerusalem, the apostles hear that the Samaritans have received the word of God. And so they sent Peter and John down to Samaria to investigate this. Now, I kind of think that maybe John was a little skeptical. And the reason I say that, you may recall in Luke's first book, the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, you had that scene where Jesus was passing through a town in Samaria, and the Samaritans rejected him. And John and his brother James, the two hotheads, said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and burn up the city?" And Jesus says, "Shut up. I didn't come to destroy lives. I came to save lives. What are you thinking?" You know, they had a hatred, John did, towards Samaritans at one point. And you may recall also in the Gospel of Luke, it talks about where Jesus told a parable about a man who had been robbed and beat up and injured. The priest came by, ignored him. Then a Levi assistant came by, ignored him. And then, lo and behold, the most unlikely suspect, a Samaritan, came by and helped the man. And that shocked Jesus' audience. They thought, there is no good Samaritans. They're all bad. And today in our own society, we have good Samaritan laws about how you cannot be sued if you help someone on the side of the road. And so in that Jewish culture, they thought very poorly of Samaritans. And of course, you may recall, see the picture here in our stained glass window, the woman at the well, she was Samaritan. So when Jesus was talking to her, she said, "Well, sir, you're Jewish, I'm a Samaritan. No, why are you talking to me for? We don't have anything in common." And so I have a hunch that maybe John went down a little reluctantly and like, "Well, I don't know about these Samaritans now." And when he got down there, I think they got surprised. Now, this part is interesting because it tells us that the Samaritans have all been baptized, but they have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes folks will get dogmatic about stuff, about how when you get saved, how things should happen. But you can't put God in the box. Sometimes, the book of Acts, people get the Holy Spirit first and then get baptized. Sometimes they get baptized first and receive the Holy Spirit. You know, it happens both ways. The point is, though, you need to get the point in your life where you've been baptized and received the Holy Spirit, okay? And so Peter and John goes down, and they lay hands on the Samaritans and pray for them, and the Samaritans were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think that was a way of God showing Peter and John that these are true believers. And so it was confirmation both to the Samaritans and to the apostles that God was at work with the Samaritan people, okay? And yet out of this beautiful moment, you got Simon the sorcerer. And he sees this. And he tells there's a difference. These people don't act the same anymore. And what does he do? He goes up to Simon Peter and says, "How much would it cost to get the power of this Holy Spirit?" You know, he's willing to cash out his life savings and bill on the credit card or his debit card and get this power of the Holy Spirit. This is why I really don't think he really got saved to begin with. I think he was just doing head knowledge. And then Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you." Now, you may recall John 3:16, right? "Whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life." When it says perish, that's the nice way of saying go to hell, right? You and your money can go to hell. He has made Peter very upset. Why? Because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. I don't care how much money you got in your bank account. It is God's gift. You cannot be rich enough to buy it, nor can you be poor enough not to receive it. Receive Him. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to all believers. And Peter goes on and say, "You have no part or share in this, for your heart is not right before God." You see, Simon never really repented of his sins, of his sorcery. And as long as you allow the devil to have a foothold in your heart, you can't have the Holy Spirit move in. It's not like the Holy Spirit and the devil can be roommates in your heart. Somebody has to leave, somebody has to stay. And Peter gives him a way out and says, "Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that if possible, the intent of your heart will be forgiven you. Now notice that Peter says, didn't say, I'm going to pray for you. He tells Simon, Simon, you got to do your own repenting and do your own praying. You got to pray that the Lord will forgive you for your sins. When it comes to our own lives, we can't have someone else to pray for us to forgive us of our sins. We got to be the one asking the Lord, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And in verse 23, Peter says, for I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the chains of wickedness. Now think of that imagery. You're in the chains of wickedness. It's funny how people, when they do wicked stuff, think they're free. But you know, you're not really free if you're bound by sin. You think you're free, and then afterwards we get saved. Like, I wasn't free at all, man. The devil had me tied up. Some of you know the psalm that says, no, amazing grace. No, my chains are gone. I've been set free. Simon the sorcerer was still chained by Satan. And here was the opportunity to be set free. But instead of realizing the opportunity, all he thought about, here's some money, give me that power. He's thinking, I'll add this to my little sorcerer sideshow here. And Simon's answer was, pray for me to the Lord, that nothing what you have said may happen to me. You know, and it's kind of comical. Like he asked Peter, said, Peter, no, oh, Peter, pray for me, you know. And that's the only time in the Bible you can find anybody asking Peter to pray for them. Well, and it sounds like, you know, Simon did what a lot of folks do. He didn't repent of his sin, but he just said, I don't want to face any consequences for what I've done. And that surprised a lot of folks who know. They commit these acts and such and get in trouble and say, oh, pray, you know. But here's the problem, though. They never repent of doing those acts. They're just sorry they got caught, and there's a difference. Simon the sorcerer wasn't repentant that he was trying to get the Holy Spirit's power through money. He was just got embarrassed that he got caught by it and got scared that some evil might fall upon him, and he was trying to get out of that. Now, y'all, when we have sin in our own lives, we need to confess up after we mess up. When you mess up, confess up. The Bible says that God loves so much that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. A little while ago, we said a prayer that said, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those trespass against us. It's not like the Almighty gets shocked and we mess up. He kind of presumes we will. But when we mess up, we need to confess up so we and the Lord can make up, so he can forgive us. But when we have this attitude of, oh Lord, I'm in trouble, bail me out, but we're not repenting of what we did get in trouble again with, that gets us into more trouble. We got to get to the root of the matter. And I'm sure all of you have coworkers, or maybe your kids or grandkids in this situation where they did something and they really weren't sorry they did it, they just got sorry they got caught. And we can all be guilty of that. And that is what happened to Simon the sorcerer. And according to church tradition, he went on later on and did even more mischief in Rome. And then verse 25. After Peter and John had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem. But listen to this. Proclaiming the good news to many villages of the Samaritans. See, I think not only did the Samaritans' heart get changed, but Peter and John's hearts got changed. Because they went to Samaria and saw what was going on. They thought, man, the Lord is at work here. And maybe they thought about that woman at the well from a few years earlier. And so they laid hands and prayed for these people and saw them receive the Holy Spirit. And they thought, well, you know what? We got to go back to Jerusalem. We just might as well make a few stops along the way. And so it's kind of like they had a road map from this city to Jerusalem. And at every stop, they stop at a Samaritan city, proclaim the good news. We went a little further to the next city and proclaim the good news. Went down to the next city and proclaim the good news. That'd be like you were working your way up Highway 411.
You start in Benton, proclaim the good news. You have to Etowah, proclaim the good news. Then to Englewood, and then to Mansfield, and then Vanor. Now you just kept going from one to another, down a straight line, proclaiming the good news. So my question for you this morning is, what about us? Are we like Philip, filled with the Holy Spirit, where folks can listen to us and say, that's the real deal? Or are we getting too much more like Simon the Sorcerer, where we're trying to put on an outward show of spirituality of some sorts? And we associate church with money, which we shouldn't be doing to begin with. And maybe even worse, that we are still bound by the chains of wickedness, that our hearts are not right with God. Are we like Simon the Sorcerer that we want to, when we get caught, we kind of are sorry we got caught, but we're not truly repenting of what we did? You know, that won't work. We got to be like King David in Psalms 51 when he got caught by the prophet Nathan after his adultery with Bathsheba. And he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Now, restore the joy of your salvation. Wash me with hyssop. In other words, Lord, don't give me that little mild gentle soap that's just enough to take off the war paint. But give me that deep cleansing soap that will get to all the crooks and crannies and kill all that bacteria of sin. And then maybe we're like Peter or John, that we put God in the box and think, well, this particular group or that person, they're too far gone, we can't help them. And then we look back and think, my, look what they're doing. Well, it's not what they're doing, it's what God's doing through them. So this morning, I just want you all to kind of look at that and think about it and like, who am I in this story? Am I being a Philip, proclaiming the gospel to folks? Am I a Simon the Sorcerer? I'm kind of being on the show and got some mixed motives in my heart and doing things for the wrong reason? Or am I Peter and John? Maybe I'm kind of being God in the box and then I get surprised. But it's a pleasant surprise. And then I go out and I tell even more folks about Jesus. Know. And the truth is, in our lives, we'll probably fall in all three categories at one point. But we need to be like old Philip. Philip, he faced persecution, went down to Samaria, proclaimed the good news, and led a great revival. And doing so, turned that whole area out of darkness into God's light and God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen.